We've been doing this for a while, and it's a great privilege and honor to get to do this and to get to really celebrate the births of our children and to honor the families and to commit to families that we will stand with you, we will walk with you, we will go wherever we need to go with you. I want to take just a second to thank Rachel Patterson for her work in putting those pictures together and helping us in this process, and Angie as well, doing all of the hard work along with Karen, who makes this day really possible. We want to take just a few minutes, if Brian would come up and help me, to recognize these families. And we want to ask you to come forward and ask the elders also to come up and stand around us so that when we have all the families here, we can surround them and pray for them in just a minute. Elders, go ahead. Come this way. Don't be bashful now. Our first family is David, Karen Allen, and Brenna. We all have a little pot going here to see which baby starts to cry first. So see who you've got right now. Tyler and Amanda Bell and Bailey, and they are out of town. John and Heather Blackwell and their son Tate. I know I saw them somewhere. Yeah, there they come. Okay, Gary and Michelle Boyette and their daughter Jordan. Jay and Angela Brandenburg and their daughter Lily. Tracy Pacheco and her son Colton Clark. Colton's right there. Landon and Kristen Collard and their son Bryson. And Landon, I just have to tell you that Haley is very disappointed that I did not introduce you as Mr. and Mrs. Incredible and Jack. So, Roger and Amy Gist and Sawyer. Andy and Jennifer Little and Julian. Brent and Kelly Morris and Reagan. And Rusty and Holly Smith and Ethan. Sorry, dude. You thought preaching was pressure, didn't you? Yeah. I've asked Mike Borger if he would, on behalf of the elders, to pray for these families. Mike?
Let's pray for these beautiful children. Father, as I look at these faces of these babies, it just reminds me of how good you are and how great you are and how perfect you are. And Father, we thank you so much for these sweet gifts today, these babies. And dear God, we ask for your help as parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be able to lead them to you. Father, that's what we want to do. We want to lead them to you. And Father, I know you know their names, but I want to mention their names again to you. Brenna, Bailey, Tate, Jordan, Lily, Colton, Bryson, Sawyer, Julian, Reagan, Ethan. Father, please put your blessing on them. And Lord Jesus, we know that you love children. And so I ask you now, Lord Jesus, please stretch out your hand and touch each of these children. Bless them, Jesus, please, and make them yours forever. Please, we pray this. And Father, we thank you for every good gift and pray that you bless these families now. Bless them with happiness and health and every good thing that you can give them. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As these guys head back to their seats, I just want you to consider something. I look at Bryson, I look at these guys. How many people will live with God forever because of them. Because of Carter. How many people will live with God forever because of one of these? And I wonder what you will say to one of them that will change them, that will make that happen. Many of you have been asking, you know, where are we in our children's ministry? What's going on? We know Edie has stepped down and she's still a vital part of our family. What's next? And so we just wanted to take this, just a second of Brad's time, to just let you know where we're at. There are over 20 coordinators in some shape, form, or fashion that keep all of that running that most of you know nothing about. And I knew nothing about and honestly didn't want to know anything about. That work tirelessly. And they need things and they need to know who to go to. And Edie was that person for us. And now Edie isn't that person. And so, just so you'll know what's going on, I have stepped into a role as sort of a point person for the next 6 to 8 months. And basically, any coordinator that needs something will come to me and we'll make sure they have what they need. We want our coordinators to, we don't want them to just do what someone had told them to do. We want them to dream for her. We want them to dream what's next, not just rely on someone who's paid on staff to do something. And so for the next 6 months, 8 months, that's what we're doing. And I'm just kind of facilitating that. In 8 months, 6 or 8 months, we'll sit down with all of those people and ask this question. Do we need a children's minister? What do we need? When they answer that question, if they answer it yes, we'll then make a job description. We'll say, what does this person do? What is this person going to be about? What is this person going to spend their time doing? Then we'll put a personality profile to it. And then we'll go hire that person. We don't think just filling a spot is what this place is about. It's about them. It's about this idea that we are to go about making disciples that will make disciples. And so we want to spend the next 6 or 8 months letting the 20 over there, plus the dozens and dozens of teachers, dream. And then we'll ask the question. They also wanted me to know, or wanted you guys to know, they still need your help desperately. And many people I hear, well, that's not, I don't want to do that. Keep looking at those faces and seeing the significance of what we're doing. Thanks.
Thank you, Kyle. It's interesting to me to watch as life seems to just pull us in different directions and to watch and see how we seem to be in a spot over time without really realizing how we got there. Last weekend, we took a group of people up to Red River and we had a marriage retreat. And one of the questions that I asked them to struggle with that I found to be the most challenging and most interesting was the question that I asked when I asked them, what was God's purpose for putting you two together? And they started wrestling with that. And it was amazing how many couples said, I don't know. I don't know. And that interested me. And as Karen and I wrestled with that, and we talked with Doyle and Christy and Kyle and Jen, and as they kind of wrestled with that same concept, maybe God made it easy for me. Because He knew that I'm a little dim and maybe not so bright and hard to get things through my head. So He made it easy to me to figure out what mine and Karen's purpose was. He gave us Haley. And that has set us on a journey that has been an incredible blessing with lots of struggles and turmoil and all of those things. But an incredible blessing. And has made it very clear to us what our purpose in life is. And that's to work with families and to help families. It was interesting to me how many people couldn't answer that question. And yet, don't we believe that God has a purpose for us? And that He put you together with the person that you're with for some purpose that only you can continue. And I want to take that one step further this morning and say that I don't think it's an accident that you have the children that you're holding this morning. And that you are uniquely gifted and blessed and challenged and purposed to raise these children. What an incredible responsibility that is. Will you, even at this age, start to look at what their purpose is? And how your home and your environment and your parenting and your love and your patience and your passion will begin to shape and mold that purpose for their lives. And start to give them an indication of just what that is. I want to challenge you with that this morning. After a recent forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, there were a group of rangers that began to go through the park and they were starting to do the cleanup. And as one ranger was marching up this particular hill, he noticed a bird that had basically been petrified at the base of a tree. And his words were, it was gross and sickening to see these just melted feathers just in the perfect shape of the bird that was. And as he walked closer to that bird, he grabbed a stick that was laying on the ground and he poked it and knocked it over because it was just gross to look at. And when the ranger knocked the bird over, three babies went scurrying out from under it. The mom knew a couple of things. The first thing she knew is that she could have taken off and flown to safety, saving herself and leaving her babies to the fire. She must have known also instinctively that if she could get her babies to the base of this tree, they would be protected in some way, and that the toxic smoke would rise and that she would protect them. And they would have a chance. That's sacrificial love. That's what our children need from us. Will we die for them? To show them life and to give them life. That's a picture of the parenting that I want to model for my children. And this morning, it's what I want to challenge you with, just in the next few minutes. You guys have heard me tell many Haley stories. And this morning, I've already warned her that it's not about her. I'm going to talk about Justin this morning. And he's not here, so I have a little more liberty to do that. He doesn't listen to sermons on the internet, so I feel safe that he will never hear this. And besides all that, Haley is in a race with me for Facebook friends. And I can't give her any more attention because it hurts my chances to catch up. That and the fact that people just like her better than they like me. Craig, if you'll show some pictures here. As Justin was growing up, he's 20 years old. He's a junior at Abilene Christian. Life is good for him. As he was growing up, Karen and I tried to teach him all of the basic things that kind of go with parenting. You know, tying your shoes and getting dressed and potty training and cleaning your room. And we're still working on that. The good news about that is that even though he doesn't do that, he's about to leave home for good. And so maybe we'll reclaim that room for human consumption pretty soon. We also tried to teach him more complex things. Things like faith and work ethic, service, commitment to people, and those kinds of things. And as I look back, I'm convinced of what I was told many times, that our kids will learn far more by watching us than they will by listening to us. And I have to say that for better or worse, JT saw a lot of those things. He's seen us struggle. He's seen us survive. Some of you may or may not know he's engaged to be married. That's the shiny thing on her finger. That's Ashley, that is soon to be, I guess she already really is, a part of our family. They can't get married for a while. Her parents told her that she had to graduate. I told him that I couldn't afford to send two people to ACU, so they would do whatever her parents said. And so it's going to be a while. He's watched us struggle, and he's watched us thrive, and he's watched us wrestle with all of the challenges that each of those different settings brings. And he's watched to see, not in a judgmental way, not in a scorekeeping way, but just looking to see if the faith that we have talked about and that he has watched us and heard us talk about in settings like this and in other churches and other places, if this faith is real, or if it's just something that sounds good when times are good, or does it really make a difference when times are tough? When we struggled, did we stay faithful? When we were thriving and life seemed to be good, did we stay faithful? You see, it's the same question, but it looks different. And the answer looks a little different. And yet we are all faced with those struggles. There will be times when our kids see us struggle with hard times, whether it's a downturn in the economy or a lost job or a struggle to get something started, and wondering if you will turn away from God and to yourself to try to make things work. At the same time, they will watch you as life is good and you're successful and things seem to come easy. Are you a self-made man or woman? Or is it God that gives you the blessing, who you are dependent on? He's seen us live through doubt. He's seen us ask the question, is this really the work that he wants us to do? And he's seen us live with conviction. He's seen us ask the question, which part of this work does he really want us to do? Justin's asked more questions than we can even remember. But what I want to tell you this morning is there's one that I believe we absolutely have to get right. And if you have a Bible this morning, if you'll turn to John chapter 6, we'll start in verse 66. The question that I believe that we as parents, we as Christ followers, have to get right is this one. If you know the story of John chapter 6, you know that he's delivered a series of tough teachings. And that series of tough teachings has caused a large group of followers to dwindle down to his faithful few. And at that point, in verse 66, the writer says this, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" And Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." I believe we'll answer this question in front of our kids, non-verbally, more often than verbally, many, many, many times in the next 18 years, as they live with us and we live in front of them. And the question is, in times of struggle, will we give up on faith to take matters into our own hands? Or will we trust that he has the words of life? In times of success, will we place confidence in ourselves and our own ability, in our own track record, in all the things that people are telling us we're good at? Or will we believe that he has the words of life? Our lives need to reflect the correct answer to Peter, of Peter. Where else would we go? Where else would we go? Probably the most crucial time in our lives to get that question right with Justin happened about a little over 3 years ago. Most of you know Haley spent a long time in the hospital, about 11 weeks over out of a 12-week period. And I'll never forget, it was over the Christmas holiday, and it kind of became a routine that Justin would come up at night and we would watch a football game together during the bowl season. And this particular night, Haley was asleep, and Karen was in the room with her, and Justin came up. So we went to this little lobby that no one was in. And it was just Justin and I watching some football game. I can't tell you who it was. And as we're watching the game and doing anything to be distracted, really, finally there's a lull in the game, and Justin looks at me and he said this. He said, I just don't understand. He said, why does this happen to you guys? He said, your whole life is built on helping people. Why do you have to deal with so much junk? Those were her words, his words. I'd like to tell you that I had some great, eloquent answer to that question, but I didn't. And I've had so many people, all well-intended, try to answer that question for me, like, you guys must be really special people, because only special people get special kids, and that's a lie. Okay. I've had so many people try to give me an answer. But what I got to that night with Justin was the best I could come up with. And that is, Justin, we don't understand either. I don't know why this happens to her and because of her, us. But I have to believe that God knows what He's doing. Why? Because He alone has the words of life. So if He does not know what He's doing, there is no life. Justin would be watching again just about a year later when he watched us struggle with my brother dying of cancer. And he would ask the same question. What's He doing? Why us? Why Uncle Lynn? And my answer is still the same. I have to believe that He knows what He's doing. Why? Because He alone has the words of life. And I want you to know this morning, this question does not just have to be answered in times of crisis and in times of struggle. Life can be going along quite comfortably, looking pretty self-sufficient. It can look like being invited to go places all over the country to speak to families and doctors and teachers and principals about helping families who have kids like Haley. And Justin looking at me and asking the question, do you still depend on God? Or is this all about you? And I'll have to tell you that sometimes the challenge of success is greater in being dependent than it is in times of struggle and desperation. Some of you sitting here and all of us sitting all over this room will deal with both sides of that spectrum and every slot in between over the course of our lives. And the question that I want to challenge us with this morning is, when people look, will they see life in us because we have given it to God? I believe we can get a lot of things wrong in our parenting. I'll be honest with you and tell you that I've already apologized to Justin for things that he hasn't even figured out yet that I did wrong to him. And I'm open to him coming and confronting me about that. And I've told him that I will apologize to you, but you still have to make it work because I did the best I knew how to do. You're going to do that with these guys and everybody else in here. Going to do that. But this question, I have to get right. They're watching. And they're watching to see how we will answer it. And they're watching to learn how they will answer it in the future. The greatest influence on the way they will answer this question will be the way they remember seeing you? Answer it for yourself. Now this morning you may be sitting here and you're thinking, I've raised my kids, this one's not for me. I want to challenge you this morning to think just a little bit differently. There will always be people watching you. There will always be people looking to see how you handle the challenges you face. And God is certain to allow those challenges because it's the way you handle them that draws people to Him through you. What will they see? What will your co-workers, what will your neighbor, what will that grocery store person see when they see you handling life? When they watch you, will they see someone who Satan has managed to steal the joy, the peace, the hope that you have because of past mistakes or struggles or shortcomings? Or will they see a person who believes the promise that I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly? Who will they see? If I could ask the elders and the staff to kind of find their places around the building as we prepare to respond. This morning I want to encourage you to respond in a couple of different ways. The first way I want to encourage you to respond is that I want you to commit to this group of families. That this church will not be lax, will not grow weary in providing an environment that will support them in raising children that will reach the potential that God has given them. And if you would commit to that promise this morning, I strongly encourage you, beg you, that you would find your way to these people, these families, and hug them and love them and pray with them and commit to them so that they know your face and that they know who they can turn to. The other challenge that I want to offer you is this one. If you're one of those people who Satan has stolen the joy from, that has stolen the hope and the peace because of something that happened yesterday or years ago, so that your witness has been thwarted among your neighbors and your friends. And if this morning we can lift that burden with you so that you can be that person that glows with the glory of God, we want to do that for you this morning.